So as we look to God's Word this evening, we'll be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13 at the end of the chapter. Remind you that this is a letter by Paul and the other missionaries back to a church in Thessalonica that where Paul had been pushed away from the city through persecution. And here he is at the edge of his seat waiting to hear back from this congregation that they are remaining true to the faith and living in love. So hear now God's word, its perfect word. It has been refined in fire like pure silver. Hear it now. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remembered us kindly and longed to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Having read God's word, let's take a moment to pray. Fathers, we have read your word. We ask that you would bless it, that you would use what's spoken here tonight to build up your church and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would make, in fact, your bride holy, 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 like you. So, Lord, we ask you to do that here tonight. In Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Well, again, like I said, this is Paul's letter to a church that he saw success in ministry. He went and ministered there in Thessalonica, and he saw people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And what joy it brought to Paul to see lives transformed by the gospel. But as we said, Paul was pushed away from the congregation, forced away, leaving this infant congregation without real teaching and instruction, further instruction. But here, this passage, we get a report from Timothy to Paul about the church. And here in this passage, broken up into two sections, Paul gives thanks regarding this great report, this good news given to him by Timothy. And that's in verses 6 through 10. Paul was anxious to hear back from Timothy. And given the history of this congregation, isn't that something that we would expect? The church was being persecuted. So Paul would be anxious to see how they are doing. But now his wait had finished and Timothy brought back this good news. And Paul responds in prayer in verses 11 through 13. Paul tells the church in Thessalonica that he would be praying for him, that he has been praying for him, based and also in his concern for the people of God there. As we'll see later on in the book, there were some things that needed to happen in the church there. Well, here at the end of the passage, really our focus, helping us focus in on the entirety of the passage, that Christ Jesus is returning. Jesus Christ is returning. And he will return in judgment. And Paul wanted the church to ensure that the churches that he ministered to and that he started, were ready for Christ's return. So the Lord wants us all, you all, to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And are you living in light of Christ's return? Are you living in light of Christ's return? How do we live in light of this? Well, I think the passage focuses in on two things, faith and love. And I hope you heard that as we read, faith and love. Got this broken up into four encouragements for you. First encouragement, in community. In the community of Jesus Christ is where you find encouragement to stand fast in faith and love. It's in the community, in the body of Christ, is where you're encouraged to stand fast in faith and love. We see that in verses 6 and 8. And all this assumes the work of God's Holy Spirit in the work of changing hearts and changing people and conforming them into the image of Christ. So Paul was worried about this congregation. He's worried that his ministry had been vilified among the Thessalonican church. That through intimidation and persecution, the church of Christ would shy away from the teaching that Paul had left them with. But as we said, Paul has great relief at this good report given by Timothy. It's as if Timothy comes in mid-letter with Paul. He now receives Timothy's report, and it's a good report. It's a great report. Remember how he left the church back in chapter 1, verse 3. He remembers before God and our Father the work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfast hope of this particular congregation. When he left them, he saw the encouragement of faith in their life. And here he receives encouragement the same way from Timothy. That they remained strong in the faith. And how did Timothy see this faith being lived out? Because faith is evident. It's seen. It can be observed. And so Timothy, when he went to this church, he saw faith and love being active. The Christian life is one of practice. Putting into practice what you learn. It's visible. But also, the good report was seen in that they saw his ministry, Paul's ministry, among them kindly. They remembered the work in the congregation. And this was not just lip service to Paul's ministry. They didn't come and just profess faith in Christ. They endured persecution along with Paul. And they were evidence. Remember, Paul said that you will face persecution. You will face suffering. And this congregation remained faithful in the midst of persecution and suffering. And Paul sees a desire. He has a desire to see this congregation again. And hearing that they desire for him to come back to them brings great comfort to Paul. The persecution did not cause them to waver. Rather, they persevered. Do you notice here in verse 6 the word that Paul uses? What does he say, this report, about this report? He calls it good news. Good news. I believe this is the only time in the New Testament that this word good news is used in this way. This is the same word used throughout the Bible as gospel. Paul saw this as gospel. Such good news that the people of God remain faithful to their calling. He had great joy that they were standing strong in the faith. It's not just mere language that Paul is using. It's more powerful than a good report from a friend that, hey, I'm glad you got a great job or your life is going well. It's better than getting a good report on your investments, you know. The stock market's climbing and I've got money. No, the Paul's joy stems from a parental love, as the commentator Stott says. See, pastoral love is parental love. And for Paul, this is gospel. Experienced this type of thing this week. We sent our son off to basic training. waiting to hear from him brought some anxiety, heartache. I cried. We were worried that he was not injured, that he was in good spirits, waiting for some type of comfort. And I can imagine what Paul is thinking about this congregation. Just to let you know, Matthew did call this afternoon, and he is smiling, and things are going well. He's standing in line a lot, waiting, hurry up and wait, the army motto. But just hearing Matthew being encouraged with what God has placed before him now brings great comfort to a parent. What brings much more comfort to a pastor, to a father, to a teacher, to a professor, is hearing that you're standing strong in your faith, that you're living a life of love. That's what brings great comfort and joy. That it's mutually encouraging hearing about your faith and your love. It's shared experiences within the people of God. One thing we struggle with as God's people at times is sharing our experiences, sharing our pains with one another. Fear that we might be seen as weak. But us as God's people, we need to be sharing with each other our joys and our struggles. Your struggle is my struggle. My joy is your joy. And as we share together, we encourage one another to continue to walk. Encourage each other to stand firm in faith and love. So what is the goal of our ministry here in this congregation? Is it to see you college students get the job of your dreams? To see your children grow up into good citizens? To see your marriages happy? People of God, that's not enough. Our desire is for you college students to stand firm for the gospel wherever God may lead you. For our children to remain faithful to Christ all the days of your life. That your marriages and your families would be places where Christ's love is manifested and taught. If our ministry isn't centered on the gospel, if it's not centered on faith and love, it means nothing. So people of God, I encourage you to stand firm in the faith. And Paul here says that he can live again, knowing that the most important things in life are in order. Not that they had experienced hard times. You know, we don't wish hard times on anyone. But as Hal preached to us last week, hard times are meant for our growth and godliness. Our hope is that through those hard times, through whatever circumstances come your way, that you grow and remain steadfast in Christ. You're firmly rooted in the rock, the solid rock, which is faith and love. That's our desire. And in faith and love, Calvin says, is the sum of all piety. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love for fellow believers and for all. This is what we desire for you. Second encouragement. In the community is where you not only where you find your grounding, but is where you grow. It's where you grow in faith and love. Verses 9 and 10. Paul here says that he wants to come to this congregation to supply what was lacking in them. How can we thank God enough for your faith? Paul says in verse 9. Paul's ministry was so linked with this congregation, this church, that he had such a great debt to God for providing for this congregation, for growing them in godliness. How can I pay God for what he has done? And he continues to pray for this church night and day. Why? because not all the report was good. As we'll find out later in this letter, there were issues that need to be dealt with. And here he says, I pray for you, I continue to pray for you, not only night and day, but that I would see you again face to face. This letter, in a sense, was a substitute for Paul's ministry face to face among them. For the time being, why? As we said, in order to supply what was lacking in their faith. Lacking. That word lacking. It's meaning some type of providing some type of or filling the void of some type of shortcoming or mending. Other places in the New Testament, this word is used for mending nets. Now, my father and my brother are both commercial fishermen. And I used to go fishing with them at times. And the way that the fishing industry works, or the fishing work for them, is they would drag this big net along the bottom of the ocean. But at times, it would get snug up. It would snag on some type of obstacle on the ocean floor. And you bring it up, and it would have a hole in it. And it always amazed me that my dad could see not only that it was ripped, but there were missing mesh in that net. There's a big gaping hole. Well, if you took that net and didn't fill in the hole properly and just mended those two pieces together, it would put extra tension on the net and it would tear once used again. An expert fisherman saw the hole and was able to fix it, sometimes taking cutting away pieces to mend the net. And that's the kind of imagery here Paul's has for us. He wants to come and fill the void, fix the hole in the net, to supply what was lacking in their faith. Like a good pastor. So that's what the body of Christ does for one another. We help us in this process of spiritual maturity. And Paul wants to return to them and instruct them in the gospel. Instruct them in the Word of God to make them understand their faith more fully. So the purpose of preaching and teaching is to call people of God, to call people to repentance, to grow in faith and love. And that faith comes through hearing the Word of God. But after initial faith, it's not where growth stops. We grow in our understanding. What is faith? Growing in our understanding of the gospel. Growing in understanding of who I am and who Christ is. Every Lord's Day, we're reminded of who we are, of the sin that continues to remain, and the glorious grace that we have in Jesus Christ. That's growing in faith. But he also wanted to teach them how to love, to put that practice, put into practice what they have been taught. That's the spiritual aim for every Christian, to grow in faith and love. The Christian life cannot remain stagnant. God calls us to grow, to put into practice orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Learn, but put into practice. When commenting on this passage, Lincoln Duncan said, you know, if you just remain, if you just learn the gospel, the words of Scripture, and you go home and are a jerk to your wife, does it really have a hold of your heart? If you don't practice what you learn, does it really mean anything? So, brothers and sisters, in our community of faith, we're called to help each other and grow in faith and love. Third encouragement. In the community is where you display the holiness of God through faith and love. You display holiness through faith and love. The question here is, how is love and holiness connected in verses 12 and 13? See, you increase in your love in order to be holy. It's necessary. Chrysostom applied this scripture in this way. Do you see the unrestrainable madness of love that is shown by this his word? It makes you increase and abound instead of causing you to just grow. So we talked about growth in Christ. But through God's word, not only do we grow, but we abound. We overflow with faith and love. Think about it this way. You can't just sit down and contemplate the fruits of the Spirit, can you? Yeah, you can think about them. But are you really displaying them in your meditation on them? You can't grow in love by yourself. Yes, it's through the Holy Spirit, but you need to put it into practice. You can't cultivate love and patience apart from our interactions with one another. It's like looking at YouTube and watching all these workout videos and yet not taking a step on the treadmill or picking up a weight or learning how to cook through a TV show and not really knowing how to pick up and take those ingredients and putting them together. That's what it is, the difference between understanding faith and the tenets of faith and putting them in practice through love. So in faith, we learn how to put into practice and forgive others and overlook offenses and grow in godliness. Notice how Paul finishes here in verse 12. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all. See, our love is to grow and increase for one another, but for all. The church and everyone else. And who is Paul speaking of? Remember, this congregation suffered persecution. They're living in a time of persecution. People that have made their life difficult. And here's Paul telling them to abound in love for those people. The people that give us most trouble, that cause us the most pain, or to put into practice, and we're to love them as well. And the world will see the difference. They will see us loving each other and them. That is our holiness put into practice. And our holiness becomes evangelistic in nature. Paul's desire was that in the hearts of the Thessalonian believers, that they would be established, that they would be blameless, that they would be holy. And that holiness would move them to that eschatological reality of Jesus Christ's return. Are you living in light of Christ's return? Because He is returning. He will return in judgment. And we as God's people can stand and claim Jesus Christ as our own as we grow in faith and love. Are you growing? Are you continuing to grow in your understanding of the gospel and your practice of the gospel? Is this the mark of our congregation? Standing fast, growing, overflowing, abounding in faith and love. May that be us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that You would, by Your Holy Spirit, would cause us to stand firm, to grow and abound in faith and love. Use us, we pray, to this end, to be light and salt to this world. In Jesus we pray. Amen.